Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney.
Camera one time, everybody! Look at me. Do I look skinnier? I should. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast. I am, in fact, your humble host, Scott Whitney. It's been a while. I've kind of missed you. All you people giving me hugs. White chocolate. You can remove the white chocolate. For those of you listening on the audio file, my ex-technical director is already starting on me. I've been gone a couple weeks. You know, you take a break. There's a lot of work, and you take a break, and you ease out. You got the belly. And you're like, okay, I feel good. I'm refreshed. Oh, I'm ready to go. And you come back, and you're ready to go, and you get white chocolate. You get harassed by your partner in crime immediately. Hurtful, that too. Anyways, it's good to be here. If you want to reach out, first of all, you can notice that we're missing Melissa here. She's not here, but she will be here in a manner a little bit later, so don't fret. She'll be here. You know what? If you want to reach out to us, several ways. You can do email on airq@livinginlv.com. You can do it via our toll-free number, 866-966-4599. And, of course, there is the live chat. Speaking of live chat, big hand for the live chat kids over there. Yeah. I see Billy and Johnny and Sammy and Jackie and Ray. And, oh, Ray, please put your pants on. And big applause for the studio audience right here as well. And of course, if you don't see us in the live show, you can check us out on VegasVideoNetwork.com. You can check us out on iTunes, on Roku, and on KSHP AM 1400. That's where the Vegas Video Network hangs out on Friday nights from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Big thanks to who? LASIK of Nevada. That's right, LASIK of Nevada. They have now been a sponsor for us for 1 year, completely one full year. Pretty exciting stuff. Big hand to those guys, LASIK of Nevada. Again, 40,000 procedures, most experienced LASIK guy here living in Las Vegas. And I just got a sign from somebody in the audience saying that 4,002, because we have somebody here in the audience who's met Dr. Rothman and worked with him. Thanks to them. Let's talk a little bit about stuff. Camera two. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I've missed you. I really have. It's been a couple days since we've seen each other. And couple things have been going on. Let's talk a little bit about the Vegas Video Network first. Some really good news here. We've worked really hard this last year, and some nice things are coming up. Can't give you all the details, but I will tell you this. This company, the Vegas Video Network, is owned by Podworks, which is the company that I run. And this was my second most profitable year in my entire entrepreneurial career last year. So big thanks to all the people who have made that happen, the hosts, sponsors, executive producers, and all that kind of stuff. We've been working very hard. Some neat things are coming up on the horizon. We've been reached out to by some entities, I guess you'd say, who have been interested in maybe having us work with them closer. And so we're pretty excited about that. Nothing solid. We're not sure it's going to happen or not. But it's nice that we're starting to get that kind of attention. And that's directly related to all the work that the hosts and, and Jacob and everybody is doing. So a big hand to Jacob and everybody doing that kind of work. Thanks to Jacob also for letting me take a couple days off last week. That was nice. I sat around and killed people, 12-year-old boys in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. By the way, if you want to make a 12-year-old boy cry, here's how. When they start giving you a bunch of crap, because here's what happens. You get a bunch of 12-year-old white boys who talk like black guys, and they're giving you a bunch of crap because they're kicking my ass all the time. So here's what I say to them. I say, real quietly, it's okay. We know that your mother doesn't love you, but it's not your fault. It's just not your fault. You'd be surprised how quickly a 12-year-old boy quiets up when you say that. Is it nice? No. But I got tired of that kind of stuff. Hey, the other thing about this whole New Year's thing is I realized about a year ago that I am overweight-ish. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you how much I weigh. 224, ladies and gentlemen. 224 pounds, that's too much. And I decided enough. So Melissa and I went through our closets and we threw out, I don't know, 50 pounds of high fructose corn syrup-based content, of which it was basically everything. And decided to get on the diet. Now, I wonder if there's technology out there that might be able to help me with the diet. There is. So I've been on this new, I'm tired of being a fat ass goal for 3 days now. Where are we at? 3 days. And I've got an application. And the application is called Lose It. And here it is. You see this? There it is. So here you can see, right now, let me watch out for that, that for today, Tuesday, January 3rd, I have 683 more calories to go today. My goal is to lose about 30 pounds, which is about 2 pounds a week, by April 15th or so. So I'm allowed to have 1,746 calories. You see that? You can see a little thermometer there, right there, that says I can have, oh, here, actually, oh, look at that. Oh, no, you can do that. Oh, look at that. Scotty learned a new thing today. So there's Sunday, and there's Monday. Oh, Monday was a close day. That was because I had some chocolate from Godiva. And then there's today. Now, the reason why it's so close today is because I was forced to have a beer. And by the way, here's the beer. By the way, thanks to Ira and Marie for thinking that arrogant bastard ale somehow related to me. Thank you. Now, what's cool about this, see, here's what I had today. Here's your lunch and your breakfast and your snacks, and you can have friends and you can track your friends. Now, why is that relevant? Well, it's relevant because I'm going to be tracking Wayne here pretty soon. Wayne has thrown down the gauntlet. He has thrown it down. Sure, he beat me once in golf. It was a lucky beat. But now he thinks he's going to beat me in this game, the weight game, and it's not going to happen, Wayne. So we're going to put little Wayne's name right here, and Wayne and I are going to track each other. And I'm going to beat Wayne. Otherwise, I will have him killed. It's not the right thing to do, but it will be the thing to do. Now, where did I find that application? From Dave and Alicia. Dave and Alicia. We'll talk a little bit about them a little bit later in the story. But we came upon them at a particular gathering, and we were talking about drinks, and they pulled out this little application. I'm like, well, what are you guys doing? Like, well, we're trying to lose weight again. I'm like, you guys don't need to lose weight, for the love of God. Oh, no, we're trying to lose more weight again. And we got kind of hooked on it, so we're in. Now, if you want to join me, Lose It is the application. It's free on the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, and all. And they do have an Android version as well. And we can all share our stuff. Now, as I recall, it doesn't tell your friends how much you weigh. It just tells you how you're doing, so you don't have to know that, you know, Wayne, for example, is whatever weight he is. I'm going to beat him like a rug. Can't wait. Anyways, so join us in that. All right, let's review what we've been up to for the last 3 weeks now, I guess. It's been a while. First of all, Christmas. Christmas was lovely. Lovely. I got a Kinect, which is that Microsoft thing, you know, that actually watches you do stuff. It's kind of creepy. Then I decided that wasn't the biggest part of Christmas. It was taking the kids out, frolicking. I have two kids. Melissa and I have two kids, Heather and Savannah, 25, 24, grown children, smarter than me, sadly. But we still want to take good care of them, go out there and frolic and see what else is out there. So we took him to dinner and a show, if you will, and went to the Mirage. And we started off at a restaurant called Kokomo. Now, we've eaten there before, and what I like about it, it's a steak and seafood kind of place. There's the website there. It's a higher-end website, and what I liked about what they were doing, which I think is stunning, and a lot of restaurants are doing this now, is this prefix menu. So instead of, I mean, a steak there could be $50 for like a ribeye, for example. So instead of paying $50 for a ribeye, you can see with this prefix menu, you're at $50 for an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. Pretty nifty stuff. Now, when we first got there, the restaurant, they were a little slow. They came in and they got us seated and they kind of ignored us for, it was probably 5-10 minutes. It was a long time. I got up and mentioned it to somebody and they started to pay better attention to us. But let me bring up that menu for a second and share what we had there. So most of us had the same thing as it worked out. We all had the, whatever that top one is, something pastrami, what did that say? Yeah, hamachi pastrami, which was just outstanding. Then pretty much all of us had the filet mignon, which was really good. And then half of us had the chocolate, half of us had the vanilla bean cheesecake. Talk about the filet. Steak here in Las Vegas is all, I mean, pretty much anywhere you go that's a steak restaurant, you're going to find great food. That's just the way it works out. But this filet was probably, gosh, it was probably one of the most tender steaks that I've ever had dining in Las Vegas. I don't eat a lot of filet mignon, but this one was really, really good. The appetizer was excellent. The dessert was excellent. The pricing was excellent. The drinks were good. They actually brought us a free round of pumpkin drink. It was hideous. Actually, it was very, very sweet. It wasn't hideous. It was almost hideous. The best part of the night, though, was my daughter Heather likes to eat oysters. My daughter Savannah has never had an oyster in her life. She's never had an oyster. So we decided to give her one. And the photos you're about to see are that process. First of all, a photo of just the kids, good looking, and that's Chris, that's Heather in the middle's boyfriend, Heather's in the middle, and there's Savannah, my other daughter. And so now we're going to go to the next picture. This is a picture of Heather trying to help Savannah eat her very first oyster. You know, they're kind of squirrely and squiggly, and they're a little hard to eat. These are raw. They're not cooked. You know, they're cold, they're on ice, that whole kind of stuff. But Savannah, God bless her heart, is one of those souls who just will try anything once. You know, the frog legs, I'll have it. Heart, yeah, let's go. Liver, anytime you're ready. Brain, I'm in. So she wanted to try the oyster. So that first graphic, that first show or shot was of Savannah beginning the process. And then as we continue on the process, you find her that she looks a little uncomfortable. Was that the second shot of that series, Jacob? All right, okay, good. And then, right, and then third shot? There, that's it. That's where she almost threw up. She literally, you've seen this before, where somebody bends over and does this, that kind of thing, that the shoulder up, the head down. We actually thought she was going to throw up. She didn't know. Why? Because she's a trooper. And she swallowed that whole thing, and she promised us that she would never, ever eat oysters again. And what was the other shot? Right? Mm. You'll see that my daughter Heather thought it was hysterical that her sister Savannah almost threw up all over everybody. But anyways, Kokomo, very good place. Try the prefix menu. And when we were doing research for dinners, I probably saw easily a half a dozen restaurants that were doing these prefix things all over the strip. It's kind of the thing right now. But interestingly enough, they didn't tell you about it. You had to ask for it. So the only reason why we knew about it was because it was on their website when we made our reservations through OpenTable or whatever it was. So immediately, they brought out the menu and said, our specials today are yada, yada, yada. And Melissa said, well, can we see your prefix menu? Otherwise, they wouldn't have told us. So you have to ask for the menu, but I think it's a great idea. So after we finished up with Kokomo's, we still had some time for the show that we were going to go see. So we hooked up to Rum Bar, our favorite bar on the Strip. It was a beautiful night. Smart thing. We got there a little early before the music, which is actually kind of nice. It was they had some background music, as you can see from the shot there. It was a nice, clear evening. We're both looking at two different cameras, which is probably not the best photo ever. And then the next picture is the girls all together. But you can see it's cool, but I mean, you can see Heather's not wearing a coat. They had the heat lamps all over the place. So we sat in the same corner that we did for our meetup, the far back corner, heat lamps everywhere. It was very, very nice, very attentive. The bartender gal, the waitress was there. And I tried a whiskey sour for the first time. That's a good drink right there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a rum guy, but man, that was a good drink. So we hung out there, and we started to toy with the girls a little bit. You know, what's the show? Now, we told them, or they guessed, that we were going to go see Real Big Fish, which is a band that I used to listen to a lot in the 90s, and they were playing at Mandalay Bay. And so they thought we were going to go to Mandalay Bay. We were going to go to Mirage, get dinner, and then go to Mandalay Bay. And we let them think that. While we were sitting in at the rum bar, if you look up on the side of Mirage, you'll see a big, giant poster for Love. And so we decided to let them know that, it's not Real Big Fish. We're going to be seeing something a little bit different, a little bit better. And as a matter of fact, we can see it from here. And they looked around, they saw the big poster for Love, and they freaked out. And so we went and saw Love. Now, we've seen this before, and I will tell you, we've seen all of the Cirque du Soleil shows. We haven't seen Believe, which I hear has gotten better, but I don't know. And we haven't seen the new Michael Jackson thing that's here right now. But we've seen everything else. We've seen the Elvis thing was bad, which is probably why they're canceling it. Oh, stunning, Ka, stunning, Mystere, stunning. But Love is just a really different version of your typical Cirque du Soleil. It has the acrobats, but not as much. I'm not a real big fan of Beatles music, but that music really sets the vibe there. It's the kind of, the last time I was there, which was I think probably a year or so ago, 2 years ago maybe, I came out of there kind of depressed because I felt that I wasn't doing good enough work. I was so impressed with the work being done by these people, the artistic value, not the gymnast stuff, but just the overall play of what they were doing. And we had, sites that were out in the boondocks. I just came out of there going, God, I got to step up my game. I got to quit being a goofball. That's not exactly what I was going to say, by the way. But it's a kind of gentler Scott. So it got me to, start the network and just got me thinking. So I went back again, and it had the same effect on me, actually. Not quite as bad, but you look at the show and are just amazed by the artistry of this thing. And so, I spent much of the show watching the girls, watching how they watched the show. And it was stunning. I mean, they watched the whole show kind of like, because it's just that good of a show. It's unbelievable what these people are pulling off there. And the music is stunning. And, they've got speakers in the back of the chairs of every chair in the theater. So you're hearing harmonies, singing harmonies, just one part harmony off the back of this one ear and a different harmony there. It's really clever. And then, of course, just the gymnastic stuff, the visual stuff is amazing as well. But you combine the music, which is kind of spooky, Beatles-y music, with the artistry in this really nice facility. And the whole time, all three of us were like, wow, how did they do this? Girls just loved it. Just loved it. And we had a good time. It's a nice place to go and take some pictures. We have a couple of pictures that we took before and after the show. This is before in the lobby right by the bar. And I'll tell you what, the bartender there was hysterical. He'd been there since the beginning of the Mirage. So 20 years, whatever it's been. And man, he was pushing the giant 24-ounce drinks like he was making a commission. Do you think they're making commission there? Probably not. But he was pushing them like crazy. He was a great bartender. But back to the pictures. So this is out in the lobby, just outside of where the theater is. And as if you keep going through the photos, I think you probably could figure out what we're doing there. You know, it's the whole Abbey Lane thing. And then the next picture is they've got this really cool place where you can take a shot next to these jumping pictures of the Beatles folks. And so the kids wanted to do a little bit of that. By the way, I can do that same split as Savannah. I will after I lose 30 pounds. There's no question about that. So that was our thing. The Mirage has definitely got it figured out. It's one of my favorite places now. I really like the place. Kokomo's is good. Obviously, Love is good. Rum Bar is good. If you just want one place to do all the kind of groovy things, I think Mirage is pretty cool. Now, after that, once the girls left, when we were, I know, Melissa and I were alone, we decided to do, we were going to go see a comedy. We were going to go to LA Comedy Club over at the new place at Planet Hollywood. But instead of doing that, we got an email, or we saw something on Facebook that David Ivey, who does Pub Crawl, and he's in a band called Heavy Honey, that they're playing at a place called Count Vamped, C-O-U-N-T-V-A-M-P apostrophe D. So it's a rock club on Sahara right by Rainbow. And we're like, you know what, let's go check out this club. And so we head on over there. This was on, I think it was last Thursday. And interesting club. Let's talk about the club first. So this used to be Feel Goods, which was the club owned by Vince Neil. And they spent a ton of money in this club. It's probably one of the coolest, it's easily the coolest rock club I've ever seen. It's I think it's co-owned or there's some sort of connection with the custom motorcycle company there. Because in the bar, there's a beautiful custom motorcycle there. So it's got that kind of a bikery kind of thing. As a matter of fact, they have motorcycle parking in the front of the bar or restaurant. I guess they have food there as well. But you know, their lights are drum sets, upside down hanging drum sets they're just stunning. You know, beautiful booths. It's really a well-appointed. I'm not sure if I've got a shot. I don't think I have a shot of the club itself. Do I? Yeah. But it's very, very impressive. They did a nice job there. One thing that they do that I think is kind of a miss, two things that are a miss. First of all, for all the tables that are in the performance area, there's a very nice stage with some of the best lighting you're going to see anywhere in Las Vegas for a rock band. Nice stage, lighting, dance floor, and then tables, pub tables, but not the small ones, big ones. And the problem that they're doing right now that I think, and it's preventing a lot of people from going and sitting and enjoying it, is they all these tables are basically reserved. Yeah, that's one of them. Nice shot there. That's the VIP lounge for the band. But there are similar booths like that, but they have these large pub tables, like, you know, that kind of large. Easily 6-8 people could sit on one, or sit in one. And they reserve them to people. You can call ahead of time, and for $80 or $100, you can reserve a table. Well, the problem is when we got in there, all the tables were reserved. Every single table in that room was reserved. So there was nowhere for just a regular person to sit, which I think is a huge miss. Because it prevents people, oh yeah, great shots. Nice job, you guys. You can see there's a lot of money being spent in this place. As a matter of fact, that picture right there, you can see the drum set hanging upside down at the top there. See that? Very cool. But the problem is with these big tables that are all reserved ahead of time, the regular guy who just shows up can't do it unless they're willing to pop $80 or $100 to get one of these tables. Well, what they should do is instead of these large tables, you know, most of us have been to these clubs where the tables are, you know, are real pub tables. You can fit four people around them, and that's about it. Well, they should get a bunch of those tables instead. They would double the seating there and then allow people to show up and sit down, like something you would see at, for instance, Tommy Rockers. Tommy Rockers has a bunch of the smaller tables. Anybody can sit. It's easy. But you can still do the reserve table. I understand they want to make their nut, but you should make it easier for people to be able to get in. And then all the booths, like the booths that you saw there, pretty much all those were reserved as well. Anyways, so we went in there. And the other thing that was kind of a pet peeve is, now this is a rock club, for God's sake, and they had a bathroom attendant. I mean, come on. And it, so you walk into this event. I've been into, Stack at Mirage has a bathroom attendant. And I get it. I understand the deal. But you walk into this place, so it's, it's two urinals, two toilet kind of place, two sinks, and the one sink, the bathroom attendant, is standing in front of it. So it's basically one sink. So he's standing right there, and he's not dressed up like in a tuxedo like you would see at Stack. You know, he's wearing, leather jacket and whatever, and he's hanging out there. And you walk up to the sink, and you just start to approach it, and he comes at you with the soap, starts squirting your hand. Hey! What if I don't like soap? Turns the water on for you, starts giving you towels. You're like, oh, man, come on. So, no, let's not do the bathroom attendant. We were at the table. Melissa's like, man, I have to go to the bathroom. Okay, because you got a dollar. I said, why? She goes, don't you have one of those attendants? I said, I do. I feel like I got to give her a dollar. I said, oh, well, here's your dollar. There you go. So, that was kind of a weird vibe, in my opinion, for that kind of a place. But we saw a couple bands that were pretty cool. First, we saw Heavy Honey, which is David Ivey's band, or the band that David Ivey is in. Picture of these guys. It's a pretty fun band. That's Dave on the drums right back there. You can see he is rocking out. In front there is their lead singer, a guy named London, and guitar player. And you can't see the bass player off to the side. Really, this is a really good club to see rock music. Some relatively known names have come through there. Lynch Mob, Y&T, the next band I'm going to talk about. So they're really set up to be a rock club. Can you go back to that picture for a second? I wonder if you can see something on the back there. That's kind of hard to see. If you look over the guitar player's back shoulder, you'll see what looks like a Marshall amp stack. It's actually just facades of a bunch of stacks behind them, just to look like a big concert kind of thing. Very clever. It used to say feel good on there. It doesn't say that now anymore. But it's just a really nice club for this kind of stuff. So we watched Dave play. He killed it. He's really a great drummer. If you're a drummer kind of guy, of which I am, go watch Dave play. He crushed it. Fun song. The singer for this band is unbelievable. Amazing vocal range. Funny as well. It's a pretty impressive band to watch. They're called, again, Heavy Honey. Go check them out. They are opening for a band called Adler's Appetite. And Adler's Appetite, that's the guy in the front, he used to be the drummer for Guns N' Roses before he got fired. And just so you know, he didn't get fired because he was anything particular. Axl Rose fired everybody. He was one of them that got fired. What's interesting about this cat is that besides being fired, he's a huge drug addict. That's why they said he got fired. And then he had a stroke. And it was a pretty severe stroke. He was on that rehab show with Dr. what's his name, Drew, for a while. I guess he didn't do real well there. But he's in this band. He had a stroke, and you could tell that by watching him play. Half his face was a little droopy from the stroke, but I'll tell you, you're never going to see a nicer, happier guy. It was unbelievable watching him play drums. He was smiling the whole time. He has what I call the Eddie Van Halen smile, that kind of a goofy, idiot savant smile where he's just having a good time and playing and just loving life. Dave was telling me that he was the nicest guy backstage. They all used the same drum set. He didn't bring his own drum set. He used the one from that was the drum set for the restaurant or for the bar, and he's like, hey, can I check out your pedal? No, I don't want to bother anything. I don't want to disturb anything. Just super cool about everything. And he gets up there, and you could tell he was having the time of his life, just killing it. Got some pictures of the band here, and you can see that's him standing up after one of his shows. And again, you can see tons of people in front of us. The place was packed. It's a better picture of that. You see the lights above there? That light rig up there? Man, that's really nice for just a small rock band or a rock club. Very impressive. And we also have a video of these guys as well. So what they did is they played mostly original tunes and Guns N' Roses tunes from primarily Appetite of Destruction. And this is a clip from one of those songs. pretty good, huh? Yeah, it was really a lot of fun watching these guys. So Count Vamped, I give it a thumbs up. I say go check this place out. Now, I will tell you this. The clientele can be a little intimidating. So we walk in there. We're in the bar. We see, you know, if we walk in there, and we thought the show started at 9. It didn't start till 10. We got there a little bit before 9. We walk in there, and there's not a lot of people there. Pay our $10 a ticket to get in. Head off to the bar, and we see Dave and Alicia. So we head over to Dave and Alicia, friendly face. I'm not there 15 seconds. And a guy comes up to me, hard guy. You know, he's got the tats. He's got the thick headband is like kind of in now, I guess, whatever. Oh, by the way, the bar says, no motorcycle colors. You can't wear colors. Melissa's like, what do you mean colors? I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like it's a Crips and Blood thing. I mean, but it is. Like, apparently, motorcycle colors. Like the Hells Angels have a color, I guess, and the Mongrels have a color or whatever. Can't wear colors. So I go in there. This guy approaches me, and he kind of comes at me pretty quick. I'm like, hey. And he's like, you were here yesterday, right? I'm like, nope. Nope. And he has this really crazy English Irish brogue accent, plus he's drunk, so I can't understand a word he's saying. And the last thing you want to do is piss off a drunk biker guy. So I'm, you know, yeah. No, I'm not him. Sorry. No, I think you are. No, really, I'm not. This is our place. Okay, this is great. Did you do that motorcycle up there? Yeah, it's good. Okay. And then there's in sales, there's a thing called the David Letterman close. And that's the way you get people to go away. So I did the David Letterman close. I shook his hand. Hey, great to see you, man. Thanks. And hoping he would get the message. Well, he didn't. He decided that I wanted to be friends. So we hung out some more. Yeah. So, do you know the band? I don't know anything. I want you out. Get away from me. I want to learn about this diet thing. Don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. So eventually he took off. I forgot my point on that. What was my point going to be? Anybody know? I was so freaked out. I wasn't going to tell the story of the guy until I remembered. That guy almost. Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Hard clientele. You see a lot of guys in the biker stuff and the chains and there was this girl. There's a picture that I think we had on Pub Crawl. Did we have this picture of that girl with the really big breasts on Pub Crawl with Alicia, sitting with Alicia? Did we do that, though? Okay. Well, so we saw somebody. We saw this woman, blonde woman, who had each breast had to be this big. Yeah, it's about right. This big. Now, what do you say to that? Nothing. I didn't talk to her, of course. I mean, I went, well, how you doing? How all three of you doing? You can't have that conversation with somebody. And you would think, she was wearing a freaking bathing suit top. So you could not know that she had large fake breasts. Well, guess what? She is one of those people, street performers, on Fremont Street. We saw her on New Year's. I swear, it was crazy. We were walking down, you know, Fremont Street, which we'll talk about in a minute. I'm like, hey, isn't that the girl at Count Vamped? And there's a little guy with, you know, the bandana with big tall boots, and he couldn't be 5'4", maybe. And he's kind of like a bodyguard. I'm like, well, if he's a bodyguard, she's in deep, you know what, because he can't be more than a $120. But same exact girl who was at Count Vamp was hanging out at Fremont Street, and people were taking pictures with her, and it's like just a freaking train wreck. Wayne, do we have a question or a comment?
Yeah, Biker for Life in the chat room wants to
know if
you'll
crap.
Be there tonight. He says he's waiting for you, 8 o'clock, usual spot.
Perfect.
In all seriousness, Jackie wanted to know, where exactly is this place at in town?
Did you make that up, Biker for Life?
Yeah, I did.
That was very good. That was good. We're going to miss you.
That's why I'm here.
We're good. You are funny. You're going to miss you. I'm going to kick you. Let me get this one. It's on Sahara, just east of Rainbow. So, you know, kind of in that, the southwesty-ish kind of area. There it is, Count Vamped again. Sahara, east of Rainbow. I think the address is there, 6750. There you go, 6750 West Sahara. I say go. It's pretty groovy place. And you know what? I will say this about the hard looking people. I used to ride a motorcycle a long time ago, and there were some very hard looking folks who did that. Some of the nicest people I'd ever met, were the folks who were running around on motorcycles. So it may look hard, except for that little short guy who scared the hell out of me. Other than that, it was pretty cool. So that's it. Adler's Appetite, pretty fun. Go see Heavy Honey and go check out Count Vamped. Again, 6750 West Sahara, just off of Rainbow. And tip the bathroom attendant $1 for me, because I didn't do that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to you about how we celebrated our New Year's Eve. This is I'm Scott Whitney. You're watching the Vegas Video Network, and this is Living in Las Vegas. Be back in a sec.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Welcome back. Vegas Video Network. Living in Las Vegas podcast. We've been talking afterwards about, you know, all the people who are not going to kill me because they're bikers. I am not happy about that. Anyways, if all goes well, if technology is behind us, which it appears it may not be, but if it is, it is. My dear sweet Melissa will be calling in, and we'll talk a little bit about what we did for New Year's Eve. Let me give you some background. Is she there? Is she in? Hello, Melissa?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you, everybody. Melissa Whitney on the phone. There she is.
Hi, everyone. Hi.
She sounds like she's calling in for like a contest. Am I caller number 3? Okay, you won. You won.
You want me to explain like I won the prize?
Yay! You should show a picture of her when she does that. Every time she screams or laughs, just bring up that, pop that picture of her. Okay, never mind. Don't do it. So background, New Year's Eve. So we moved here in 2005, and when we did so, we thought, hey, we got to do the whole Las Vegas New Year's thing. Now, before we moved here, we came here on a long weekend, and we did the Strip New Year's Eve thing. We went and saw a comedy show. We saw, who was it, Dennis Miller and David Spade at what was then the Aladdin, and that got out just like 11:45, we went out to the Strip.
Right.
Lots and lots of people. We got it. Watch the fireworks. Okay, got it. We moved here, again, August 2005. We decided, let's do a real Las Vegas-y Strip thing. So we did Fremont Street Experience. I think back then it might have been $20, $25 to get in. We brought the girls and some of their friends. Had a very, very good time. It was a lot of fun. Since then, over the course of the last 6 years, we had a lot of gatherings at the house. A lot, oftentimes the kids would bring their friends. I think last year we just hung out, didn't really do anything, just kind of there. But we decided, you know, this will be lucky number 7 New Year's here. Let's go back to Fremont Street and see what they are up to. And so they were doing this idea called Tribute Palooza, which I think is pretty clever. What they did is they had a bunch of tribute bands and a variety of stages. They have 3 stages at downtown. And they provided us with this kind of little sheet that told us who was all playing. So everything got started at 6 o'clock. We didn't get there till, what time did we get there, honey? About 8:30 or so? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was about 8:30.
Yeah.
We didn't want to get there too early.
Right. We didn't want to be the first ones there. That's just not cool.
I think that was too early, though. Did you?
You what?
I think that was too early. I think we would have done better to get there maybe at 9. It was not very busy.
No.
At 8:30.
No. Okay, so we had the, we almost had a fight.
I think 9 or 9:30.
Okay, mute her. We almost had a we almost had a fight over this.
You want to be calling.
Can we turn her up inside here a little bit? So we're like, I say, honey, what time do you want to go? I'm like, 6 o'clock sound right? She's like, 6 o'clock? I'm not going to be there for 6 hours. I'm going to have you take me home. I'm like, but there's a lot of bands. No, we're not going to. So we ended up going at 8:30. And you saying that was too early. Come on, we would have missed Wanted, the Bon Jovi band. We would have missed.
The band played multiple times.
Well, Wanted didn't. You're wrong.
No.
You are. No, they only
look
played
at one. Like Steel Panther. They played two times.
Some did. Steel Panther did. Yeah, but Steel Panther didn't play until okay, we're skipping ahead, which we always do when you. Okay. All right. All right. So my God. All right. So here's what they did. Unbelievable. I'm like, this will be easier because she's not here to give me crap. Wrong. Matter of fact, she called me ahead of time. She goes, I think you look a little fat. What?
I did not.
I know. I'm kidding. That was that was Wayne. Wayne, I'm going to beat you like a dog. All right. So like I said, the idea here is a bunch of tribute bands, and it costs $30 a person to get in, and you could. People were thinking, well, does that mean you can't go to any of the casinos? No, they actually had barriers about, I don't know, 8 feet away from all the casinos, so you could walk on the periphery and get in and out of the casinos. Depending on where it was, you could still see the bands. But it'd be kind of weird, you know, I was saying to Ira, it'd be kind of weird to go, hey, baby, I'm going to take you to Tribute Palooza. Oh, you're such a big spender. No, I'm going to keep you behind the barriers. We're just going to sit around and occasionally go into Binion's and get a drink and come back out and try to watch the band over 1,000 people. Yeah, that'd be bad. So some pretty cool bands. We walked in and we saw Wanted, which is a Bon Jovi band. They were okay. They weren't, you know, anything to great. They weren't great. Rolling the Stones, it was okay. When it started to get interesting, though, was these next group of bands.
But you didn't even mention No Doubt. Did you like No Doubt?
Well, that was the first group. So about 9:15, some of the really, really good bands started to pop up. So we started, there's three stages. Third Street, and Third Street is the main, well, I would think it was the main stage. I was surprised they had Steel Panther play there. They play there on both sides? No, they didn't. They didn't have them there. But there's a picture you'll see a little bit later of all the TV crews. They're all right by Third Street, the Third Street stage. But we decided to walk down to the very end and head on down to what they call the Main Street stage, which is that little stage right in front of the Plaza Hotel. And so the first band we saw, and we have a picture of these guys, I think, is No Duh. We'll bring up some of these pictures while we do it, which is a No Doubt band. Yeah, so here we are. This is the first picture we took. Isn't that a nice picture with the Fremont thing behind us? I thought that was very clever. And that was the only good picture I took. Then I just want to give you a sense for how many people were there. It was packed. Literally towards the end of the evening, in the middle of the Fremont experience, it was shoulder to shoulder. You had to kind of, you know, find the stream like a salmon to get where you wanted to go. The other thing that's interesting about Fremont Street on New Year's, Melissa has said before that she has an issue, and a lot of people have an issue with the class of people there, the dregulars, as some folks refer to them. And when you charge $30 a head, you don't have a lot of those problems anymore. You saw, I think you might have seen in that previous picture, there's guys in tuxedos, women in nice dresses. So it definitely classed the place up when they charge that kind of money, which is kind of nice, I thought. So let's talk about some of these bands, because I think some of these bands come in and out of here a few times, and there's one band here that crushed it. Thank you. This is pretty funny. This is a good picture. So it's hard to tell on the shot, but if you look carefully, you'll see a guy that's hanging upside down from the zip line. And what he had done was, so the way the zip line works is you start at 4th Street, and you come zipping down like that, and you get to the end just beyond 3rd Street. And then you get off and you do your thing. But what this guy did is he started at the beginning, he went all the way to the end, and somehow bounced back. Now, we didn't see him bounce back, but he flew all the way back to just on top of the audience at Third Street. So that picture of him is hanging above everybody who's watching the band at Third Street. Oh, by the way, he was drunk. So that he wouldn't normally be in that position. That's not normally how you fly on this zip line thing. But he was.
No, he did that to himself.
Yeah, yeah, he was like, oh, Happy New Year! And he would flip himself upside down. Oh, it was hysterical. And the people below him were like, Bon Jovi band, do it again, jump. So everybody was yelling at this guy. It was hysterical. It was so funny until they decided he needed to be rescued. And so a woman comes scooting out there, grabs him, and drags him back to huge.
You have a picture of that?
Yeah, yeah, we do. To huge cheers and guffaws for being surrendered by a woman. Anyway, so that was pretty
cool. I would not have liked being stuck out there like that, though. I have a little issue with heights, so.
Yeah, but he was so drunk, I don't think he knew he was, you know, 2 feet off the ground. He was pretty drunk. That was pretty funny. So a lot of that kind of stuff going on. Actually, I'll tell you a story about somebody who scared the crap out of me in a minute. And then we saw a band called Rock Sugar. And they're a metal pop mashup band. And they had probably some of the most buzz throughout this place. As a matter of fact, we actually went in to get press credentials. And while we were in there, some guy saw us. And we were like, well, this is kind of neat. And they're like, oh, whatever you do, don't forget to see Rock Sugar. They're a mashup band. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Well, here's their set list. And I think we have one picture of those guys. Go ahead and bring up the next shot. Actually, we'll do these guys. Oh yeah, we should do this. So these shots. This is great. This is my favorite drinking device there at the night. These big giant boots full of alcohol, of which I had none, because I was almost on a diet then. Next picture. This is the band No Duh, which is the No Doubt band, and you can see the gal in the front. She does look kind of like. Didn't you think she looked kind of like Gwen Stefani or whatever her name is?
I did. I thought she looked great, and she has that same kind of energy and buzz, and you know, she had really good energy. I wonder if that band's from Southern California too.
I bet they are. But it's a good
band. They're good. I really like them.
Yeah, they were good, and it's a smaller crowd, so we could get up closer. That's kind of fun. And they were very good. They sounded like them. They played all the good songs. I mean, we probably listened to what, 4 or 5 songs, honey? Yeah, they were good.
It was good.
And so then we decided.
That was the first band, sorry.
Well, that was the first one we actually saw at the beginning, and we really kind of watched. We walked by Bon Jovi. We walked by the Rolling Stones thing, that kind of deal. But we wanted to watch these guys. Because, again, at 9:15 is where these guys started. They started to put some of their serious bands up there. So we watched those guys for a while. We walked by the Led Zeppelin band, which was okay. But we really wanted to see this Rock Sugar band. So Rock Sugar, again, is this heavy metal or metal pop mashup band. So what they do is they take two songs that are, you know, one's a metal song and one's a pop song and put them together into one song. I think we have a picture of them. It took one. Let me see if we can find that. That's the Led Zeppelin band right there. Oh, yeah, Oxygen Bar. Fascinatingly, nobody had any oxygen during drinking and New Year's Eve stuff. Next.
I don't think that was on people's minds.
That's them. So, kind of hard to see, but these guys are rock candy. So, here's what they are, rock sugar, sorry. So, I got their set list from them because I couldn't remember what they were doing with their songs, but it was really pretty funny. So, for example, they took Don't Stop Believing and Enter the Sandman, and together they wrote Don't Stop the Sandman. And so they would start off with one song, and then they would be playing a different song while the melody to the first song was still going on in the background. It was really, really cool. We heard Since You're Gone and Barracuda together was good. They had an Axel contest for, you know, Voices in the Jungle, Dreaming of Breakfast, Rhapsody, all the songs here. Very good. Some of the best stage work we've seen ever. They were talking to people. They were giving out free stuff, having a good time. Music shift was outstanding, and a huge, huge crowd who, I don't know, maybe 20, 30% knew who these guys were ahead of time. And I'd never heard of them. I think they're, well, they're not from here. But they had a big following there. It was really pretty impressive. So they were a good band, and I could see why they put them in front of all these broadcaster guys. And they were, you know, they were breaking every, what, 45 minutes or whatever to do the broadcast. It was pretty cool. But the band I really wanted to see were these folks called Steel Panther. Now, I've heard about these guys from David Ivey. Wayne's talked about them. They play at the Station Casino properties quite a bit. I didn't really know what they were. I thought they were just a metal cover band. That's not what they are. What they are is a kind of a metal joke band that kind of makes fun of a little bit of the metal idea. It's all original songs. So we went and watched these guys. I think we got some pictures of these folks. Let me see that. Yeah, here's some broadcaster shots here. Again, another shot of the crowd. Just a huge crowd. It was unbelievable how many people there. Yeah, there's the broadcasters. So all of, you know, Fox was there, CBS was there, NBC was there. They're all there, except for ABC. They weren't there. And here comes Steel Panther. So if you look at them, you know, these guys look like the quintessential rock guys. The guy on the left is the lead singer. The guy in the middle is the bass player, lead guitar player, and the drummer behind there. So I thought, like I said, they were just a metal cover band, right? No, these guys are called, again, Steel Panther. What they do is they write some of the lewdest lyrics, God bless their little heart, ever. And Melissa, could you hear the lyrics that they were playing?
Oh yeah, no, I definitely heard the lyrics. They're a little naughty, but I knew in advance because someone I work with is a big fan of them.
Right.
And I have gone to lunch with that person when their music has come on before, and I was like, whoa. Did I hear that correctly? Like, I don't even know if we can repeat some of that stuff here on our podcast.
And
there's some pretty naughty stuff, but they're very clever, right, with their words.
Very clever.
And the music box out. And hey, you know what I heard?
What's that?
You know that guy that has that really long blonde hair
Wait, hold on. Don't give away the joke.
Oh, wait. I didn't know you knew.
No, I did know. You told me. Sometimes when I get married.
No. Well, We talk about so much stuff, I can't keep it all straight.
Right. So Melissa got for Christmas, among many things, a new iPhone. And the reason why she wanted an iPhone is because she wanted to do the social media. Right, babe?
Right.
And so she's, you know, I'm here and I'm checking in here. And so she took a picture of the bass player. Let's bring up another graphic of these guys and see if I can get a good shot of him. Go to the next one.
Yeah, beautiful hair.
Go back. Back.
No, didn't you think he had a good hair stuff?
Yeah, that one. So the guy in the middle is a bass player. Beautiful long hair. So she did a picture, and I said, you should write, I'm jealous of his hair. And so she did. And I don't know, how long after that did you get that Facebook post about what it really was?
Oh, I don't know, half an hour maybe.
Wait, so it's a wig? Like, what? No! Don't break my heart. I want him to have really beautiful long hair like that. The whole time, during all the talking, he had a mirror in front of him. He's putting lipstick on and doing hairspray. It was hysterical. So these guys have got it figured out. Huge crowd. There's one crowd shot. Now, they have this song, and I forget the name of it, probably purposefully. Go bring up this crowd shot. Or the shot of me, or a crowd shot. Now, you'll notice there's a hand signal going on there. All I'm going to say is that hand signal is naughty.
We don't need to repeat it.
I can't repeat it. I know what it means. I forget the name of the song. But I was listening to the song lyrics. I'm like, oh, my God. How did they get hired? How does anybody hire these guys? Well, they're pretty funny.
That's why they weren't on the stage with the cameras.
Oh, I bet that's it. I bet you're right. I
don't even know that we could repeat the titles of their songs.
No. Their lyrics were pretty rough, but funny. Yeah. Rough. I mean, you know, good stuff.
No, But let me just ask you this. Just looking at them, right? And you heard how they are musically. Like, they're very good musicians, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they would have just been, like, probably hugely popular, like, in the 80s?
Do I think what would be what?
The band. They probably would have been really a big deal in the 80s.
They're popular now. They're probably...
Well, no, I mean, they would have been, like, you know... Poison or, you know, Motley Crue big, don't you think?
Not with those lyrics, they wouldn't have been.
Well, no, not with those lyrics, but maybe they would have done different.
I think there are so many people who are of that talent level. That what they did is they found a brilliant niche. I believe they're probably the most successful, I don't want to call them a cover band. I guess they're not really a cover band. But that kind of band, bar band, easily the most successful bar band here in Las Vegas. From what I've heard from David and other folks around here, they've got it completely figured out. I mean, they're playing. Wayne, you were saying they play at stations a lot, right?
Yeah, they're between our Green Valley Ranch and Sunset Station properties. They're there several times a month.
Right, and probably got a good gig going on there. And I've seen them elsewhere.
Have you seen them before, Wayne?
No, we have the Collateral all around the properties, but I've never gone to see it.
We have to.
We need to take hand now. You don't know what you're missing.
It's pretty fascinating. Now, that was all the good stuff. There was a bad thing that happened there. Two bad things. First one, so we're walking around, and, you know, this place is full of cops. I mean, they were in packs of eight everywhere. And along with the cops, there's obviously ambulances, because there's a lot of drinking and drugs and whatever. And so this is so weird. Camera one. So we're walking along. You know, we kind of went out of a barrier, came in, and we see a guy on a gurney. And he is white as a ghost, but still functioning, moving. White as a ghost, though. And so and he's really thin, kind of heroin thin, kind of meth thin. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, "Well, shit, you must have had $30." he's rough, and he's kind of, you know, he's doing a little bit of the weird kind of wiggle, and he had these really, really puffy lips. I'm like, "Wow, this dude is really weird." And then he starts to kind of move, and Melissa's like, "Look out!" And he projectile pukes right at me. Right at me.
It was kind of funny. But,
yeah, except for the part where he projectile puked right at me. So I'm walking. I'm like, wow, this dude's going to be, yeah! So I'm jumping away.
You almost predict that was going to happen?
Well,
you replay it in your mind now. Aren't you like, of course that was going to happen?
Well, yeah, you saw it. What's curious to me is you saw it happen and you didn't warn me.
Look out.
You said look out while there was literally, by the way, it was green. It was very exorcism-ish. You said look
really
out as
second.
It was in the air. Look out.
Well, it happened very fast.
Tardy. You could have said it a little earlier. You could have said, oh, I think that guy might puke. Might take the long route around.
Well, here. You see, guy, I think he was ODing. I don't think he was just I think he was ODing. His eyes were like rolled back. But I think he was ODing. And you see the guy flat out on his stomach and they're moving him. Oh, he's probably getting the spins, probably like nauseous.
That was bad.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was the primary bad thing that happened.
But you didn't get hit, right? None got on you?
No. I know. But I did realize that's when I had to lose weight. Because I wasn't as fast as I
wanted. Oh, so you would have been a smaller target?
That, and I'd have been faster.
You know,
I wanted to be more ninja-like. Like Wayne. Like my buddy Wayne. So they ended the whole evening. There's Ninja Wayne right there. They ended the evening with fireworks. But wait a minute. Are you saying fireworks like on the big screen? Yes. And what's that? For what? Oh, yeah. They did do this. They did a nice little tribute. When they did the New Year, Happy New Year's, they showed, you know, folks who had passed away over the last year, Amy Winehouse, Peter Falk. And then...
I thought that was weird. Did you think that was weird?
No, I kind of liked it.
Well, I liked it, but it was like all of a sudden there was a tribute up there. I felt like, oh, it's New Year's, and now we're having a tribute. It was like just weird to me.
I kind of liked it. I thought it was a touching thing to do. You know, I think it was nice. When you get my age, you're softer. It's kinder, gentler, Scott. Here at the Vegas Video Network. Shut up! By the way, Modern Warfare 3 this weekend, Saturday. I'm taking some people out. Join us. But they did the fireworks thing, and I'm like, okay, it'll be fireworks on the big experience thing. Yeah, they did that. They also lit off fireworks inside there. Like, hello? We have pictures of that. Look at that. Boom. That big white thing's an explosion of fireworks going on in there. I think we had a couple more. You can kind of see some shots where there were little fireworks, but you see little ones there. But before, big, booming, giant fireworks going on there, which is great, except for with the combination of the loud music, which was very loud, and the loud fireworks, I've had ringing in my ears now for 3 days now.
So, I know, and you know, it was all under a canopy, so it's very, yeah. It holds the sound in, you know?
Yeah, so two bad things
over
the New
Year's. The fireworks were really loud.
What's that?
The fireworks were really loud.
They were great and loud.
They were great.
Yeah,
it was surprising.
What's that?
It was surprising. You know, they said that there was going to be fireworks, and we thought it was just going to be part of the show on the canopy. We didn't think it was going to be real fireworks.
I thought they'd be sparklers, you know, little things. Like, there's one picture that looked kind of like sparklers. No, they're at the very end, they had boom. And so the combination, I have literally had ringing in my ears for 3 days now. So
I know. You're going to have to go see a doctor, huh?
Got to go see a doctor because of New Year's. Isn't that great? What? All right. So that's it. And by the way, you guys probably didn't know this, but the Partridge family live in downtown Vegas. Look at that. Who knew? Hello, world. It's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. She's laughing at me. Isn't that sweet? Anyway, she's still laughing at me. That's not sweet anymore.
I'm laughing with you.
There's a fine line between laughing with me and laughing at me. Anyways, that's it. We had a what I thought was a great, look at this, Jacob. Yeah, you can't stop me. Had a great holiday weekend for New Year's. Had a great Christmas as well. And that's it. That's it for the show. Thank you, Melissa, for calling in during your busy work time.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person.
Did we do this? I forgot this. Hold on. Stop. I now owe 10 push-ups. God. Dang it. Cameraman, camera four, please. Oh, booyah. Wanted to thank one of my dear children, Christina, for providing this photograph, please. This drawing of Melissa and myself on the set. It's hand-drawn, ladies and gentlemen, by my daughter, Christina, who is with child. You'll note that if you look carefully, it's her picture in the back on the mantle there. Right, I don't know if you can see. Oh, you can't reach it. But she put herself there, and she is currently my favorite child because of that, especially because she's going to name her first child Scott, which I think is very sweet.
That is really nice.
Yes, it was. I have to name that first child Scott. Way to go, Christina. Thanks for the drawing. And again, thank you, everybody, for joining in. It's good to be back for 2012. Missed you. We love you. We give you big hugs here at the kinder, gentler Vegas Video Network. Hey, you know, if you want to reach out to us, you can do so on our email address, which is q@livinginlv.com. You can hit us on Twitter, by the way, which I forgot to mention at the beginning. There's our Twitter ID, which is Vegas Video NTWRK, and our toll-free number, 866-966-4599, and then all the other different ways to reach out to us. Big thanks to the live chat audience. Big thanks to the studio audience live here. Is that? Yeah. And if you would like to be adopted, if you would like to take this spot right here, you're going to send an email to friends@livinginlv.com. friends at livinginlv.com, and your beautiful picture will be here too. And what happens when you go here? Well, you can ask Christina. You get pregnant, your whites will be whiter, and your brights will be brighter. That's it. Anything else, Jacob? Am I done? Thank you, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Dick it.